مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. In association with 4th Rabiul Awwal 1444 Hijri, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, number 4, for as long as a Muslim keeps reciting Salat upon me, angels keep sending mercies upon him. Now it's up to him whether he must recite more or less. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah is that in some masjids, the drain of water is right next to the area where we sit down to perform wudu, because of which the drops of water splash on our clothes. In this case, would the wudu of a person be valid or not?
This doesn't make any difference to the wudu. A person of course doesn't feel very pleasant about drops of water splashing on his clothes, but we cannot deem those water drops to be impure unless we are certain about it. The wudu anyhow will be valid.
Precaution should be observed while constructing the wudu area as well, so this issue can be avoided as much as possible and people don't have to suffer because of this. What would you say?
Very true, but neither the public has this mindset, nor do those who construct masjids. As in how to construct the wudu area. The builders, the laborers have no idea about this. They are given instructions to construct a wudu area and they would do so as they deem appropriate. The better approach in constructing a wudu area is that it should not be very deep, because if it is very deep, then the cleaner will have very hard time cleaning it. Depth is not needed, you're not going to dive in it, are you? For no reason people make it deep. So it should be a normal depth. And where the water falls, there should be a slope there. So that, let's say, in case someone has dirty feet, some kind of dust or mud, or blood on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, so in this case, when he washes his feet, then the dirty impure water would flow quickly and he'll have to be careful to avoid water splashes. Otherwise, what generally is observed in this regard is that the arrangements for the wudu area and sewerage system are not very good, and the water gathered from washing the impure feet gets blocked and stays there, and people perform wudu in the midst of it. So there needs to be a very good sewerage system. Now, a drain cover that is normally used does block the rubbish. Now, a caretaker that is appointed by the masjid is normally hired on wages, so this responsibility should be assigned to him, that after every salah he removes blocked rubbish from the drain cover. Otherwise, at times they leave it as it is, which results in the blockage of water. So someone with a sensitive nature or someone who holds on to cleanliness will be extremely despised to perform wudu there. It would be very unpleasant. So have the wudu area built with extreme caution. We should make a place of wudu at home as well, and the construction of the wudu area should be such where we should try to make sure that it's quite a sophisticated one with a slope at the end, and the depth of it shouldn't be very deep. Now, if I have to perform wudu at such a place where the depth is very deep, I would struggle immensely. So it should be just high enough for one to be able to clean the wudu area just by extending his arm slightly. The wudu area that I use, the slope over there is such that in case I need to clean or scrub my feet, I can do so easily just by extending my arm slightly. So this is how a place of wudu should be. You will enjoy performing wudu, but for this, develop a mindset, be serious about it. Only then it will happen. Make a place of wudu in your home. We have so many things in our homes, but unfortunately we don't have a wudu area. There are elderly people as well in homes. How would they perform wudu? During my travels, I performed wudu many times in wash basins, but now I cannot do so anymore. I can't wash my feet standing up. Now the houses where there are only wash basins to perform wudu, now the people who are ill there, or those with a wound or a fracture, how would they perform wudu there? They must face a lot of difficulties. So the facilities of performing wudu in a house should be such that whether it is a child, woman or an old person, they can do wudu comfortably. May Allah make our entire household salah offering. Because once a person is salah offering, only then he will develop a mindset to perform wudu. And upon this he'll think about a place of wudu. Otherwise there would be massive plazas built, but within them there wouldn't be any place of wudu. You would come across beautiful buildings, but without any arrangements for wudu. Now, taking the name of Allah, reciting Bismillah before performing wudu is sunnat-e-muakkada. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, reciting this is mustahab, but however, reciting the name of Allah is sunnat-e-muakkada before wudu. Now, what generally happens is that in the toilet there would be WC and alongside it would be the wash basin. They'll be all together and the wudu is performed there. Taking the name of Allah there is not allowed. How would you recite Bismillah now? When I happen to travel overseas and go to different people's houses, generally after using the toilet and before performing wudu, I have to come outside, step outside the toilet, and upon stepping outside, I recite Bismillah and make all other intentions, and then go back inside and quietly perform wudu. Now there's another issue in this, that for washing every limb there are du'as, or you can even recite salat, it is mustahab. My practice is to recite salat as well as Ya Qadiru. As in, he who recites Ya Qadiru whilst washing every limb, no one will be able to kidnap him, nor humans nor any jinn. I've been doing so for several years. Now, at such occasions where I happen to go to someone's house, I do manage to recite Bismillah by stepping outside. But whilst performing wudu inside on the wash basin, neither can I recite Salat upon the Prophet, nor can I recite Ya Qadiru. I'm mentioning my own state here. So I'm not the only one on the face of this earth who performs zikr. There would be thousands. We learn these things in the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah. You will see beautiful, very posh, finest of houses, but lacking wudu facilities. Money is not everything. What do you think money can do? Will it take a person into paradise? Salah and wudu will take one into paradise. And this is exactly what we don't do. And as for money, we have to give account for it. And that too only when the earned money is halal. Upon haram wealth, the verdict of hellfire will be issued. There's verdict for haram, not any accountability. How sensitive this matter is. But people don't build wudu areas. What can we do? I can't tell you how I struggle to wash my feet at such places. I can't do so at wash basins, but I try to manage somehow by sitting down, but at a slightly elevated place as I can't sit down on the floor. Now, of course, you have to make all these efforts because when we talk about wudu, it is the key to salah. So imagine what difficulty would I have to go through. We can even sacrifice our lives for you. People raise these slogans but can't build a wudu area for me in their house. I'm just talking generally, I do normally face this trouble. But some people have built wudu area for me in their homes. Where I go regularly in the overseas in their houses, there is wudu area for me. Alhamdulillah. May Allah preserve them and bless them. And may Allah Almighty grant them paradise without accountability with their family and children. It of course pleases my heart as they look after me.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد
الله أكبر الله أكبر أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر هر عبادت سے برتر عبادت نماز ساری دولت سے بڑھ کر ہے دولت نماز
یا شیخ, my question to you is there any excellence for performing wudu at home and offering fard salah in the masjid? Please guide us in this regard.
Abu Dawud narrates on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu an that he who leaves his house to offer fard salah after attaining purity, i.e. performing wudu, etc., his reward is such as is of the Hajj performing Muhrim, i.e. who performs Hajj in Ihram. And he who leaves for Chasht, his reward is like the one performing Umrah. And if no frivolous speech is made between one Salah and the other, then it is inscribed in the Illiyin, meaning that it reaches the ranks of acceptance.
We at times come across the passion of certain individuals regarding offering salah despite them being blind or handicapped, and see that how passionate they are to come to the masjid and join the jama'ah, and how eager they are to be in the first row of the masjid. And even in the question they said that if they leave for the masjid after performing wudu at home, subhanAllah, so may we also get the passion of offering salah and that too with jama'ah. In this regard, what would you say and how would you guide us?
Faizan-e-Namaz is a book on the excellences of salah, which is translated as The Key to Paradise in English. If dars from this book is delivered at homes, inshallah, family members will become salah offering and dars from it should be. In masjids as well, people will become firm in offering salah. If chok dars is delivered from it, then Allah willing, non-salah offering people will also become salah offering. There'll be many benefits of this. There are many excellences of salah. Salah is the key to paradise. And how can a lock open without a key? We have to offer salah to enter paradise. As in the person who keeps offering his 5 times daily salah, his minor sins keep getting erased, they get washed away. And he keeps getting purified from sins. Moreover, the person who does not offer salah is a very big sinner and deserving of hellfire. If anyone leaves even one salah deliberately, then his name will be written on that door of hell, passing through which he will enter hell. This is just for leaving one salah. Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah also says that he who misses one salah deliberately is deserving of being burnt in hell for thousands of years. Salah is a very important form of worship. It is amongst the most important forms of worship. The Day of Judgment is the severest of the days. The first question on that day would be regarding Salah. Same content is found in Hadith that on the Day of Judgment, the first question would be regarding Salah. If this is fine, then all other actions after this would also be fine. And if corruption is found in this, then all other actions will be corrupted even to a higher degree than this. So everyone should make an intention that we will never miss our salah. Remember that salah is must to be offered no matter what. The renowned Gnostic great, the proof of Islam, Imam Abu Hamid, Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahimahullah says, in my opinion, just verbal utterance in rush with a heedless, a negligent heart cannot make one reach that rank. This is why Allah, the Almighty, said in the Holy Quran regarding the hell dwellers in comparison to the salah offering people, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Translation Consulate Fund, what brought you to hell? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They will say, we were not among those who pray. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah further says that only salah offering people are the inheritors of Jannat al-Firdaus and those who witness the manifestation of Allah's Noor and those who enjoy His divine proximity. Anyhow, offering salah is very important. The Tabi'i saint Sayyidina Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu anhu states, by Allah, I read the following traits of the hypocrites in the Torah. Those who keep running after their desires and those who leave salah. Then he recited verse number 59 of Surah Maryam, just 16 of the Holy Quran. فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Translation from Kanzul Irfan. So, the unworthy succeeded them who neglected the prayer and followed desires. So, soon they will meet the terrifying valley of Ghay. In hell. May Allah, the Almighty, make us a salah offering and save us from the punishment of hell. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Emir of Ahlus Sunnah is, nowadays some people say the best places on earth are masjids and the worst places are markets. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions would not go there because they are the worst of places. My question in your court is, should we go to marketplaces or not?
No doubt masjids are best places and markets are the worst. But markets are not worst places for the pious people of Allah. I think it's perhaps about Junaid al-Baghdadi rahimahullah that he also had a shop in the market. When he rahimahullah would meet, his target sales for the day as per his need. Then he would draw the curtain and offer Nafil Salah inside. So how would it be worst place for such people? Imam Malik and Imam Bayhaqi rahimahumullah narrate in Shu'ab al-Iman on the authority of Sayyiduna Tufail bin Ubay bin Ka'ab radiyallahu an that in the morning he would go to Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma and he would take him to market with him. As they would pass by those who would be selling substandard goods or anything or any poor person, or as they would pass by anyone, they would say salam to them. Sayyiduna Tufail radiyallahu anhu says that one day I came to Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma and he asked me to go to the market. I humbly asked him that what would you do by going to the market? Neither do you stand there at any place and nor do you look into or inquire about any product. You don't bargain about the prices of any product either. And nor do you join and sit in the gatherings of markets. Let's just sit here and talk. Meaning narrate hadith. So Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma replied, we go to the market to say salam. As in we'll say salam to whomever we meet. This also shows us and highlights the importance of salam. As in how important it is to say salam. As Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who is a companion, son of a companion, would go to the market. It wasn't worst place for him. It wasn't at all. The marketplace is worst place in general. Lying, deceit, cheating, and so many other sins are committed in markets. And now the situation has gone bad to worse. Unveiling is also at its peak in markets. In fact, there are more women than men there. And there would be many people with an evil inner self who would visit the market just to, ma'adullah, look at the women. Especially in the nights of Ramadan and Eid, this would be very common. Nonetheless, from this action of Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, who's a companion and son of a companion, the importance of saying salam is also highlighted. We hardly say salam. We just wave our hand. If we wave our hand along with saying salam, then there's no harm in it. But people normally only wave hand. We've explained many times, but still they don't say salam. It's a very disappointing situation. We don't have the habit of saying salam. How are you? All well? How's everything? Is everything okay? What's new? What's going on? What would have been better for you to say instead would have been Assalamu alaikum. You would have given dua this way. How are you? How's everything? All this is without the intention of asking for the well-being of the person. That is just for the sake of formality. Once I was standing outside the hospital and a person came to me. He perhaps would have recognized me, or maybe he was passing by, saw me and came to me. He said, how are you? Well, I'm outside the hospital. And he's like, are you okay? I'm standing by the doctor. And he's like, what's new? This is like at the tip of their tongue. These are like default word settings that they utter. I can't remember the exact words, but this is somewhat what he said. These are like words stored in their minds, which they utter when they see someone. You see, an audio message, the shorter it is, the better it is for the person whom you sent it to. It should be of a few seconds. Even in the audio message, people have a habit. Like, so how are you? How's everything? Is everything fine? After asking this 3-4 times, then they start with their message. One has to fast forward the first 15-20 seconds just for this. They ask just for the sake of it. If you ask people like us, we have a whole list of things that are wrong with us. Every limb of an elderly person is sort of diseased. I shall be to them like, hold on a sec, let me take my file out. I have this illness, this is my x-ray, and this is my report, this is what the doctor said, this is my diet, and these are my precautions. If I start mentioning all this, opening my file, now the other person will start looking at the watch that I need to go. So why are you asking me then? Say assalamu alaikum and listen to wa alaikum assalam, then you go your way, I go my way. That's the right approach. So may Allah Almighty guide us. Saying salam is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You will find the mention and excellences of salam in the Quran as well as hadith. Saying assalamu alaikum is also the dhikr of Allah. Salam is a name of Allah. and is a dua. Assalamu alaikum, meaning may peace be upon you. It's a dua. Dua is also dhikr of Allah. And the word salam is one of the names of Allah. So in this way, the salam is the dhikr of Allah. You get the reward of dhikr as well in it. And reward of giving dua is there as well. Saying salam also heartens the other person. It makes him happy. In case there's enmity, then by saying salam, it also reduces a bit. Yes, the ray of affection does shine in the heart by the virtue of saying salam. This is the blessing that Allah has kept in it. Then the person who says salam first, he is free from pride and arrogance. This is mentioned in hadith. This is a mark of humility for a person to be first in saying salam rather than waiting to be greeted with salam. Thinking that I'm someone very big, other people should say salam to me. I'm a teacher, why should I say salam to my student? I'm Shaykh, why should I say salam to my disciple? I'm the Imam of Masjid, why should I say salam to people offering salam behind me? They should say salam to me. No. The Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would be first in saying salam to even children, let alone elders. May Allah bless us with a small particle of the humility of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So we are to say salam and do not ask about health without any reason. And if there is a case where you truly know that the other person was ill, he had fever, and you actually inquired after his health so that he can inform you about his well-being, then it's really good, well done. It's an act of reward. But I'm talking generally about that person who keeps asking about it just for the sake of it. He doesn't know what exactly he's asking. How are you? How are you feeling? What's new? Is everything fine? In Qutul Qulub, Sayyiduna Abu Talib al-Makki, rahimahullah, quotes a saying of Sayyiduna Sulaiman bin Mayran, A'mash, rahmatullah alayhi, who was a very big Tabi'i saint, who says that a person meets with his friend and he asks him about everything, even to the extent that he asks about the well-being of the chicken that is in his house. But if his friend asks him for only one penny, then he doesn't give it. May Allah Almighty grant us well-being. The precaution that we should observe in writing is that we should proofread it after it has been composed. Or even if it is handwritten, then going through it once more, proofreading it is very beneficial. Having your writing as finalized without it being proofread, meaning without going through it at least once, is just like someone went to the place of istinja, i.e. to the toilet, and came out of the toilet without even performing istinja, didn't attain purity. This is the example given. This is how big a loss this is, and at times, even disbelief would be committed. There's a risk in this. The way there is slip of tongue, same is the case with the pen as well. Same with typing. The word completely changes and it causes an insult. Yes becomes no, no becomes yes. So some people, sadly, don't proofread. You get a gist of it through the quality of writing. They just keep typing and they spread it everywhere. So this shouldn't be done. This practice should be avoided. Why be in so much rush for such an important task? Do it peacefully and spend due time on it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakara. Madani muzakara.